Let's kick off again today. We're talking about Christ, the final truth. And I want to start today from the book of Colossians chapter 2. Let's kick off from there, the book of Colossians chapter 2. We have been reading this book of Colossians since we began this series. From verse 1, it says, "For I want you," of course, this is continuing from chapter 1, in which he explained the fact that we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and that we have been transferred into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, that Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And he said that, we said something last time, which is also in that chapter 1, and the fact that he's the image of the invisible God. We said that there are different depths, different levels of manifestation of the person of God. And people have seen different levels of him. But Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except they come by him or through him. And we examined it last time that how can somebody say that when many people in the world are following God, it appears like, in their own way, or before Jesus came, people were following God. Are you saying that no one could approach even when he wasn't around? And we say, yes, that's a matter of fact, that God used to reveal himself different ways. He would tell them that by this name, I did not reveal myself to your fathers. They knew me as maybe Elohim. They knew me as El Shaddai. But they did not know me as, depending on the pronunciation you want to use, the same thing. Some will say Yahweh, some will say Jehovah. All right? They did not know me by that name. That means a time came, I revealed myself in that particular fashion. And there are different aspects to God. But we said that the totality, the fullness of the Godhead is found only in Christ Jesus. Therefore, it's appropriate for Jesus to have said what he said. He wasn't being superfluous. He was not being... Give me another word. He wasn't feeling too quiet with himself when he said it. All right, I can't find the proper English word. To find a Nigerian word for it. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so but he was just stating the fact. And it's not actually an outrageous statement, because those who follow the knowledge of God, who try to pursue truth, they know this thing comes in levels. You understand my point? And they know that people have attained to different levels. So if he said that no one can do this, it's not totally out of order if you're into spiritual things. Because it only tells you simply that the levels that everybody went to before were inferior to the level that he's introducing. So we said that in him, the fullness of the Godhead, all right, dwells. And in that Christ Jesus, all right, through him, it pleased God the Father to reveal himself to us. Now, there's one statement I made last time, very, very crucial. I said all the struggles of mankind, they are trying to reach out to God. They are trying to attain to a particular level that they can get the knowledge of God, have a relationship with him. But that the difference between them and Jesus Christ is that Jesus is God coming down to have a relationship with mankind. Are you getting my point? And that is why you don't just... It's in fact, my message today is titled The Gift of God. The Gift of God. Now, we'll read some scriptures in a moment. All right? Many of which, I referred to some of them last time. But the point is that this is what sin is now. Sin is not that you just committed something. Sin is that you rejected the gift of God. Now, you must understand God is not a human being. He's not a friend. He's not a relative. He's not somebody that if he offers you something and you don't like it, you leave it. Do you understand? With God, if he offers you something and you don't like it, it's actually iniquity. Now, sin is not that he's angry. Sin is a scientific fact. I mean that like that. Sin is a scientific fact. It's as if you are sick. You understand? You're almost dead. Okay, let us assume now you have not eaten for days, and then you are severely low in blood sugar, and I see you're about to die, and I give you glucose, all right? Take this this small cup of glucose solution, drink it, and you will live. And you say, I don't like to receive anything from you. Now, I'm not angry with you, all right? That's not the reason why you will die. You will die because you are going to die. But then, I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, but then what will be recorded as a cause of your death was that you rejected the offer that I made. They won't say you died because you are not eating for days. They won't say you died because your blood sugar was low. They'll say, why did he die? That guy was too proud. That's what they'll say. Why? Because the cure came. And that's how it is. When we talk about sin, sin is not as if God is angry. Sin is a scientific fact. That is, it's an issue of order. So if God says, do this, he's saying do this because that is the right thing to do. If you don't do it, it's not because he's trying to punish you. It's that you have exposed yourself to disorder. And that's why God, I first heard it from a school. God never gives advice. He always gives commandments. Even if it sounds like advice, it's commandment. If he says to you, make a choice, he always tells you what to choose. He said, I set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. He now says, choose life. He doesn't just leave you to decide, what do you think? He will give you the options, and I'll tell you the option that is godly. So if you don't choose life, you defaultly choose death because you are disobeying. And disobedience is not like I said earlier, I is angry. How can I tell you something? And you don't listen to me. That's the problem. You don't listen to me. You don't love me. When I'm telling you something, you won't listen. God is not your wife, amen? Did you hear what I said? God is not is nobody's wife. If he tells you, put your foot here. Once you don't put your foot there, you've lost in life. Even if it doesn't give you any explanation. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I want to just explain the issue of the gift of God to introduce you with that. Alright? So that when God gives a gift, that is why it is a sin to reject his gift. The sin is not his anger, it is that you have exposed yourself. You have denied the solution to all of the to all of your problems. You have denied it. That's why he said that. God, when Jesus was speaking, he said, he did not, how did he go again? That he does not, that's what I'm going to say. He who does not believe is what? I didn't hear you well. Okay. Open your Bible, speak. Let's quickly read it. Let's all know what we're talking about. It's there. We're not imagining it. Those who are saying condemned already. You can read it from the scriptures. The book of John chapter 3. All right, let's start from verse 16. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This New American Standard, that version I'm reading. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. I like King James' expression there. He said, is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment. That the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. Now let me just stop this. Let's save time. Why did I read this? You see it. So when God gives you something, if you reject it, it is not just that you are annoying him, it is that you have denied the solution to your problems. That's what it is. That is what it is. So we said that sin these days is that God gives us a gift and we reject it. And Jesus is the gift of God. Now, let's read this, what I said we should read, then I will continue what I'm saying. Please bear that in mind. That's what we have been explaining. That men struggle to try and reach God. But God said, no, let me come down to you. And then when he came, the Bible says he came unto his own. His own did not receive. Let's read that one also. It will help us. John chapter 1. Let's just get all these facts clear. The Bible says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it. He said, now talking about John, that John was not the true light, but if you go down to verse 9, he continued talking about the Word. He said, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Now notice this, he came to his own, that is the nation of Israel. And those who were his own did not receive him. But as many, don't forget, God chose the nation of Israel. He said that you I have chosen, all right, of all the nations of this earth. He said, therefore I will punish you for your iniquities. God was speaking to them. So that nation was chosen by God. That's why he called them his own. He said he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Now notice that they rejected the gift of God. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And this is a consequence. He says, verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, there's a reason I'm emphasizing this. The fact that sin is that God comes to you with his gift, and that's Jesus Christ, and you reject him. When you do that, you continue your iniquity, and eventually you enter into... In fact, he says you are judged already for rejecting the Son of God. Why is God so emphatic about that? And that is because, it's simply because that is the solution to all the problems of mankind. That's it. Everything is summarized in Jesus. Many of the things, and that's what this my message series is about. I've talked about Christ here and there. In each of the messages, I lay a different emphasis. This one, my emphasis what I'm trying to do is to lay this emphasis on the fact that your struggles have come to an end. Are you getting my point? Yeah, this was what ignited it. I see Christians all the time struggling to reach God. I see them all the time struggling to please God. And now, you see, it's good to walk in a manner pleasing to him, all right? But that's not what we're talking about. We are seeing people doing things because they want God to approve them. I see them going through a lot of struggles. Struggles. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You see somebody is going to walk the whole day. He said, I must go to church. And it's good to go to church. Listen, church is good, amen? Church is very good, amen? You know, David said that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a good thing. But you see somebody, why is he doing it? It is because he said, if I don't do this, the breakthrough I'm looking for will not come. They say, okay, let us go for evangelism. He said, hey, this one, I've been waiting on God for this particular thing for 2 years. If I miss this evangelism, that may be the end of my breakthrough. Do you understand my point? And you see people say things, they walk in a manner that you realize that this person is trying to gain God's approval. And I feel bad because it does not work. People want to pray to God to get something from him, and they declare a fast. And what do they mean by a fast? We must suffer. We must put some pain, are you getting my point, on our bodies so as to show God that we are serious, so as to show God that we deserve this thing. We do all of those things because we want to get an answer. So he said, this thing you want to do now, listen, you will pray. And the prayer is good. You first declare a fast. And when you're declaring the fast, what's the guy trying to achieve? Say, okay, it's going to be a 7 days fast. We'll fast for 7 days. At the end of 7 days, we will now pray. That thing is so unchristian, I don't believe people do it. But they do. But they don't realize it's totally unchristian. It's not a Christian principle at all. For you to be able to number the number of the days of the fast, before you ask God for something, you must be a Muslim. Or you're a Hindu. You definitely are not walking in the laws of Christianity. Say, how should I pray? The moment the matter comes up, what is wrong with opening your mouth right there and then? I can imagine my son coming to me. He needs something in school. And he said, Daddy, we need to talk. So we'll see at the end of the week. Why at the end of the week? I need to get everything ready. And the rest, on Monday, he goes to the gym. On Tuesday, he sweeps the compound. On Wednesday, he washes my car. On Friday, he irons all my clothes. That on Thursday, on Friday, he cleans the whole house, does everything, and then he comes there. Yes, it's the end of the week. I said, what is it? I need to let you know something. There's a special textbook we need in school. And it's expensive. I've waited this whole week to let you know that it's a serious matter. You know, I will conduct a deliverance session right there and there for the Satan that's trying to possess people in my home. It's not to tap on the door. That they cannot come and say, come right in. Please, there's an issue. What's the issue? I need this particular book in school. It's very important. I heard it's a bit expensive, but how far? You can afford it now. Do you understand my point? Yeah. And he says it. Why does he ask like that? Will I say to him, what have you done for me that I should do this for you? If you ever hear anybody preach that doctrine to you, please, the fellow may not be a bad person. He doesn't know the truth. He just lied to you. That God will look at you and say, what did you do for me that I should do this for you? God never does that to Christians. There are things I hammer on all the time. There are statements that are popular in Christianity. They sound nice, a cliche. You know, just say it. Nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own. It's not true. Something left God's hands while you were still dead in your sins and your trespasses and your iniquities and your disobedience. When something left his hand and it came into your life. And it says, if you want it, receive it by faith. That's what I'm trying to do in all of these teachings. That when I began, I've been explaining the fact that people struggle to try and gain entrance into God's presence. But Jesus said, you want to gain entrance into God's presence, you come through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to come into God's presence, just make sure you come through me. That's all he's saying. There is no other way. You know, there are things you say once, you say twice, you'll be amazed that people are not hearing you. And sometimes they hear you, then they go home. Then they hear the opposite. So you have to say it again. Just because you love people, you want to tell them the truth, you want them to be liberated. You want the word of God to affect them. That's why I keep saying these things. When you receive from God, it is never, let me say it again, it is never, one more time, it is never, please, what did I say? Never. It is never, ever, because you did something for him. Never. Never. Never, 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 ever, never, because you did something for him. I've said to you before, I said, when you are going to heaven, you will carry all the souls you want. Listen, narrow is the road that leads to heaven. Can only take one person. All the souls you want, they will go and win their own. Okay, if you carry them, then they want some people. They you come with a network. Are you in Forever Living Products? Network of soul winners. Or is it Life Plus, GNL? That is in rich heaven. You know, they do network marketing for them. Naked and alone, you came into this world. You are going back. You are going back totally naked, totally alone. And like I told you before, nobody even counts the souls you won. You know why? You didn't win the souls. You can't win the souls. You don't have the ability. Paul planted, Apollos watered, God won the souls. That's what the Bible says. Each one is rewarded according to his labor, not according to the souls. If you obey the word of God, God knows how he handles it. But you don't walk on this, see all the souls. Because if that's the case, you will have better reward than Isaiah. Isaiah talk. Nobody believed. Jeremiah shout, scream the whole world down. Maybe apart from his secretary, Sariah, nobody has listened to him. So they even turned him to an entertainer. Was it him or Ezekiel that they used to say? Yeah, Ezekiel. When Ezekiel wants to preach, the whole church will gather. These people dress up. Where are you going? We're going for the opera. Who's the musician? Ezekiel. I said, Thus says the Lord. I said, did you see the way he pronounced it? Thus. Oh, Kabayaga. That guy, he can preach. So, everybody's excited. At the end of the day, nobody believed him. They leave the place, they go and do exactly what they planned to do. I hope you are getting my point. Please, I'm saying all of this, something in all of these things. That, listen, you don't get anything from God because of what you did so as to deserve it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's why Jesus said, when you ask in my name. In my name means that is the basis of your answers. In my name means that the reason why God listens is because of the name you mentioned. That's the way it is. And that's what I'm trying to drum into the hearts of people again, because in today's Christianity, the opposite is everywhere. We take the laws of the Old Testament and some that were before the Old Testament, and because they are before the Old Testament, we don't argue that this one is not under the law. I say, so is animal sacrifices. They say, this one began before the law. I say, so were they sacrificing animals before the law. I've heard people say that they were unclean animals and clean animals before the law. That is true, because Noah was asked to choose 7 of clean animals and then pairs of unclean ones. That means that those things existed before the law. But I want to emphasize again, it is not the law. The law is not what makes things different for Christians. There are two ages. It is before Christ and then the latter days. That's how it is. That is, those the days, and what they call it, former times, which is before Christ, and then latter days, which is after the coming of Christ. After the coming of Christ, that is what matters. When some people want to argue on this issue of tithing and all of that, they say that it was before the Lord. So what? Go to the book of Malachi. Malachi said this. Go and check. Read Malachi entirely. Stop dissecting Malachi. Go and read it well. Malachi complained about the kind of animal sacrifices they were bringing. Listen, that's what I'm trying to do of these things. I'm trying to explain to Christians what it means to be a Christian, not a churchian. There's a world of difference, all right, between being a religious person and being a Christian. A Christian means your identity is in Christ. It doesn't mean you are good. Now, I'm not saying you are bad. I don't say, Pastor Pang, he said, it doesn't matter. There are churches that preach that. So if I sin, it's not me that's sinning. It's my body. I'm a spirit. Only. Only want to indulge the flesh. He said, no, it's not. Meanwhile, the one enjoying this iniquity. Maybe when you take his money, he won't remember that the money belongs to his body. Please, I'm not saying that it should be a jaguda. What's a jaguda? A criminal, a crook. And that's it, it doesn't matter. We'll come to that one, maybe not today, subsequent times. What defines you as a Christian is not your moral uprightness, because there are many, many morally upright societies as a standard now. There are many people that are morally upright, but they are not Christians. And Christianity is not that, look, I don't hurt my neighbor. That's not what Christianity is. Many people who didn't hurt their neighbor will die and go to hellfire. He said, why? Because rejecting the gift of God is what sin is. He said, but I didn't do anything to deserve it. He said, God, it's no problem. But you also did not do anything to enter into my heaven, right? So go anywhere you like. Don't be so. Like I say all the time, God sets his standards. There's a sermon I wrote some time ago. I'm surprised. I thought I released it, but I just found out recently that I've not released the sermon. I called it The Good, The Righteous, and The Believing. And I explained in that sermon that God makes the rules. You can't decide the rules for him. You can't. If he has made his rules, no matter how nice you think something is, if it's not in accordance with his rule, it is bad. And the rule of God is herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's what it is. The reason why God accepts you is that you are in Christ. It is not because you have done something good. We need to emphasize this. I am persuaded one of the major reasons why Christians are not blessed today is because they are too good. I don't know whether I caught that. They have this sense of, I'm good, I deserve it, I should get it, I'm better than him, I'm better than her. I've not done the bad things that she has done. I've not done the bad thing that he has done. I am good. It's there at the bottom of their hearts. They go to prayer with that attitude. They feel like, God, let's talk. This prosperity thing is in the bag. I don't know if I get it. Yeah, it's in the bag. Because of the last 7 years, my first fruits, which God never asked for, is your church that's collecting it. You know, I've been telling you. No, if you want to give it, you like it. It's not bad. If you bring me, say, Pastor, this is my first fruit. If you just come now, you know, you are a rich man, God has blessed you. You buy me a Browning Ford Explorer. Say, Pastor, God said, as a first fruit, I should give this to you. I will collect it and thank you and bless you for the offering. You won't see me use the word first fruit. I'm very, very smart. But that can't let it go. Once you are not a thief, I will collect it. I will bless you. You'll be waiting for me to say first fruit. I won't say it to you. Say, okay, it's my first fruit. I said, whether it's third or fourth, sure it works. What difference does it make? It's an offering, it's a gift. Amen? Amen. Uh-huh. No, so if you want to do it, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it too. But let's just get it clear. Just by the way, for those who are asking, people are always asking, so let's help people. Even if you insist that in your life you must do first fruit. God didn't say first fruit is your whole month's salary. Now, just to help people, for those who are interested, all right? Let's just You know, people ask you those kind of questions. I don't like to discuss many things, but I just help people, amen? What do you think? We should do it, eh?
Yes,
sir. The principle, for those, this is just by the way, I'll get back to my message. The way it was commanded, all right, under the law, all right, under the old covenant, the way it was practiced, I want to just understand. It's a spiritual law. I need to just say this quickly. It's a spiritual principle, which you find it was practiced in Africa even before the missionaries came. It was. If you, New Yam Festival, it was their first harvest. What they call harvest? It's first fruit. That's what it is. So the people took usually one tuber of yam to the shrine as a way of saying thank you to the gods. So that would tell you that it's a spiritual principle. It's everywhere. Okay? And remember what I said earlier. We're not dealing whether it's under the law or not under the law. We are talking about in Christ or outside Christ. So as a matter of Christ thing, it's Christ himself is the first fruit because he's God. You know, after he rose up from the dead, everybody that believes in him is holy. So the principle is a Christ principle. That's what I want to understand. So that was a type of Christ. But let's look at the practice for a moment. The way it was practiced is simple. Before the farmer begins to harvest, even in Africa, he took the very first tuber of yam, that first one that comes out, he takes it to the shrine. That's just it. All right? In the same manner, if it was a Jew, it went to his farm. Once they start harvesting, he takes the best, first part of the harvest, the best, it goes there, takes, and I've read, you know, because these questions come up all the time in Christianity, so as a teacher of the word, you have to instruct people. So I took time out to do my studies. And I read different commentaries, different Bible dictionaries explaining it. The quantity was left absolutely to the discretion of the giver. Usually, it was one basket. Your basket could be big or small, but it was one basket. So you are going to harvest 1,000 acres. Once you start, the first basket is what you take in. What it means is that you just take some things, put it in a basket, and go and offer it. And the statements you make is more important self than the thing itself. You say, my father, like for the Jews, my father was a wandering Aramean, and then this happened, and that happened, and then God brought us out, and this one, to his promised land, I have brought, is that recitation, the things you are reciting, as a way of giving God the glory. That was the most important thing about it. This one, I will tell you that it's your whole 5 months salary. Let me just say something to you. Let's get it to give to ourselves clearly. It's not true. It's not true. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, because if you're an American, it'll be first week salary. Americans end weekly. So if you're a businessman, you did do your profit taking quarterly. So it becomes your whole first quarter earning. No, now. But if you can do what you like with your money, if you know it's your money. You know it's not my money. It's as you like it. If you wake up and say your first fruit is a whole year, that's your problem, not mine. But I'm a Bible teacher. I'm giving you the words, the scriptures, so that if you want to practice some things, you understand. Don't fall under condemnation. That's my only battle of these things. Is this condemnation people come under? People become working accountants. Yeah. Because they want to pay a tithe. And they think, now this is what irritates my soul. The fellow feels he's a good Christian because of that. Your Christianity has nothing to do with your tithing. Tithing is the way you like it. It's not Christianity. Are you getting my point? You can do it. Oh, did I say you shouldn't do it? You can wake up in the morning and decide that, look, anything God blesses me with, I want to use it to serve the poor. Yes, I'm serious. You can do anything you like. A brother called me once. He asked me an honest question. He said, what am I supposed to do with my money? I said, what you like. Do it the way you like it. And you must understand why we're making statements. We're talking to Christians. When I say what you like, I didn't say, go and get 3 girlfriends all over town and be, you know, servicing them with your money. Did I say that? If you are like that, you're obviously not a Christian at all. So when I say what you like, you must understand what I'm trying to say. What I'm telling the fellow is that, decide, you know, you've read the scriptures, you've studied the word of God, you know what money is about, God has given you a quantity of it. You know all the problems in life. I mean, you're talking to me, I'm a preacher, I run a ministry. You know, some people don't know that you pay to be on air. You know, an average Christian still thinks television broadcast is free. Unless he's been watching the Lord and seeing the people begging. Please now, send us money. Otherwise, we're going to faint, man. Otherwise, he thinks that, look, two different specialists, medical specialists, all right? I emphasize the fact that they're medical specialists for you to know that they are well-educated people. That's why I emphasized it. Both of them Christians. And they did not know I was paying money to be on radio. Both of them said they thought that all you needed to do was to be good in preaching. Honestly, I wish it was so. No, there was a day, when one of them said it to me first, the first thing that said it to me, amongst the two people I'm referring to in my mind, I now connected with why one man also said he used to watch me on TV and said he doesn't see me there anymore. And I told him that no one was having television broadcast. We started on NTA, then we go here. I don't know how many of you remember. Then, after the first quarter, we just discontinued it. Well, for those who want to know, the one reason is because we had 30 minutes, all right, and covering just Enugu area. One went in, we thought they had a wider coverage. The way they sold the thing to us, we thought the coverage was extending far wider than that. So we had paid before we found out it was relatively narrow. So we allowed the quarter to finish, then I just discontinued. And we found out for that amount of money, we could cover the whole of sub-Saharan Africa for 1 hour instead of 30 minutes slot. So, you know, it makes sense. So that fellow was asking me that I did that. And that's just explained briefly that we decided to use it. So he was trying to explain that, that he used to enjoy it, you know. After dinner, he would sit down and be watching it. It used to be at night. And in my mind, now looking at him. Well, later on, when the other fellow spoke, I realized that he thought, because it wasn't costing anything, you know, why did you remove it? After all, it was entertaining us. That is good. Now, why did I say that, you know, just by any way? So I told that brother, what do you do with your money? I said, what do you like? If you love the gospel, those things are costing money. Do I need to come to your house and beg? You're getting my point. It is where where your heart is, your treasure follows it. That's what it is with money and Christianity. I told the brother straight, do what you like. But that is because you have been taught on what is right, what is good. When we say do what you like, we already know as believers that we don't lay up treasure for tomorrow. So when we say do what you like, that's what we are talking about. What upsets me, like I was saying earlier, which was why I went to do that, is the condemnation Christians come into because they did not calculate properly. I heard a man preach that Christians are not tithing well. Now, you know, oh God, have mercy on us, we preachers. Sometimes, you know, Jesus said that you have placed a burden upon people that you and your fathers could not carry. After brethren have become diligent in their tithing, someone has said that is the whole tithe. What is the whole tithe now? I've calculated the earning for you, giving you 10%. You are not saying the tithe is not whole. What is not whole in this thing now? Say, Pastor Banky, yesterday was your birthday. Yes. All the gifts you got, you should tithe them. I said, but there was no cash in it. The recharge card, don't go. I heard this man say to the extent that if somebody, you know, maybe gives you a gift, maybe I give you a shirt, you will value the shirt like an American tax collector, you know, Uncle Sam, like they say in America, and then deduct, go and pay off. There's actually a rule like that in the Old Testament. It's called redeeming something. That is, if, for example, if you're, because the first offspring of all your animals, I think males, they belong to God. So, some of your animals are unclean, so you can't use them as sacrifices to God, like a donkey. So if you have a donkey, you have a horse, all right? It gives birth. So what you do is that you take a lamb and used to replace it. It's called redeeming that thing. And the Bible says, the way Moses said to them, if you don't want to redeem it, you break its neck. So, since I cannot tear off the arm of my shirt that you dashed me, they said, the whole tithe is I'll go and value it and go and pay a portion of it as a tithe. Please, In fact, the day I was sitting there, somebody was preaching this one in front. One brother beside me said, "My God, that is true." I said, "My friend, will you stop that? That's legalism." Normally I try to be nice. Now I was so vexed. I said, "My friend, will you stop that? That is legalism. It's pure legalism. Why am I preaching this series? I want to come out from under this condemnation, please. If they dash you a shirt, wear it unto the Lord. Let me get sober. I buy you a bottle of drink. So what do? You pour libation. You see, people, you must understand that. Some of these things, that I'm telling you, you must know what Christianity is. Some of these things are pure idolatry. Because what the ancestors, that's the forefathers in Africa used to do, they put it on the floor. And the church wants to carry on those things, forgetting that they are in Christ. All those things, I told you, they were here before the Jews came, before Christianity came. They were here before we read the letters of the law. They are spiritual principles. But they were all types of what life should be in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the first fruit. Are you getting my point? So this is where type. The ancestor poured libations to avert curses, to give the gods their own. So he gave a traditional African man a drink. Before he sips it, first fruit onto the floor. And in case you think he just, go and check it. God, when he wants to take most of his offerings, Old Testament, he emphasized, you poured it on the floor. Go and check it. When you get an animal, God said, kill it, don't eat the blood, make sure you pour it like water on the floor. And when Jacob vowed to God that whatever you give me on this my trip, I will give you 10%. Go and read the scriptures. We were not told when he paid that vow. But of course, I did my research. Meditated, I found out. What he did, when he returned, he took all the animals. If there were 100,000, he took 10,000, slaughtered them, packed them in a heap, set fire to the thing, and burnt them to ashes. That's how God used to collect his things. But when he had a priesthood, he said, okay, don't do that anymore. You will give the meat over to the priests. But when there were no priests, when a man would just go to his sacrifice, he burnt the thing to ashes, he wasted it. And like I told you, it's a spiritual principle. But those things were types. They were things that people did to show respect for the spiritual realm. They were things that people did, do you understand, as a sign. Listen, they did not know, but those things were given to them as a sign that Christ was going to come. And when he came, please get my point. When he came, that was the end of it. That's why now you pour libation, now you invite demons into your life. Because once the glory departs, and you still maintain the structure, it is necessarily filled with evil spirits. You must understand there's a difference between old wine and new wine, old wineskin and new wineskin. And Jesus said you cannot mix the two. If you take new wine, put it in old wineskin, you are going to ruin the thing. You will waste the wine. It's not effective. That's what I was telling you. A lot of people, their Christianity is not effective because they have put the life of Christ into old wineskin. The life of Christ is destroying the wineskin and it's not being effective. It's being wasted. You approach God, you want to ask for something. God can't answer now. How will he answer you? Because the last offering you gave is in your mind. And you come to him in the name of Jesus. So there's confusion in heaven. It's called double-mindedness. Unstable in all his ways. Such a one cannot receive anything from the hand of God. Like I said to you before when I was teaching on that. Because what happens is that you instantly leave a particular realm, you enter to another realm. The realm you are in, the name of Jesus doesn't work there. That is, it doesn't work as a means of getting something when you come down to that level. It's works. And when you are doing works now, you understand? Satan suddenly is an accuser. Then he gains power against you. So you say, I have done this. Satan said, he hasn't done this. But I have done this one. He said, but this one he did not do. I gave a tithe, I gave first fruit, I gave special seed, I gave a prophet's offering, I did all of that. God, Satan said, fine, that is true. But remember, Lord, you said when you want to come, you come in the list of the saints. How many beggars did he pass on the way to church that day? But you know, when you are driving to church, they were at every junction, they were there, tapping on your window. You didn't give them a dime. What they wanted was crumbs that will fall from the table. 5 naira, 10 naira. You went to church with a 100,000 naira offering. You did not give them a dime. So you want to say, I give a special seed. Satan says to you, but you saw that boy. He was hardly more than 5 years old. All he wanted was 10 naira to buy pure water. Accusation. Why? You took yourself away from where you had security. You came down to the level of works, and there is now fire for fire. And Jesus can't do anything. You're not making any pleading based upon his name, not upon his blood. You're pleading your works. So he's watching you like this. At the end of the day, that's how you gave. You tithed, you sowed seed, you did first fruit, you did everything. 6 years, nothing. God said, listen, do you want deliverance? Hear the truth. Confess your sins. What is your sin? Of relying on your works. Say, confess your sins. You have been relying on your works. That's why I've not been able to do anything for you. I can't. Because you're confusing the heavens. You took new wine. You poured into old wineskin. The wine poured out. You wasted the wineskin. You wasted the wine. Say, make up your mind. I'm giving you new wine. Then go and get new wineskin. What does wineskin mean? You have to have a different mindset. A different structure. Totally different. When you are, look, listen. No, this money matter, I just know I can't stop talking about it. And I don't think it's my fault. Is it my fault? And I think it's your fault. Okay, it's our fault. We're always doing this thing because, we in today's Christianity, oh my God, we have made God look like a merchant. When he's not, he's a father. One of the things that God did for me in life, that helped me to understand the scriptures, also, give me a wife and give me children. After I did that, man, I understood things. I understood things. I understood the heart of a father. You know, I just realized that some of these we say about God, it can't be true. If 1/50 of it is true, it can't be a father as good as me. And how can God be a father not as good as me? Because the things I know to do for my children, you are saying to me, God doesn't know to do for his own. That's the way it is. The things I know to do for my children, you are telling me God can't do for his own. What are you talking about here? And that's what this thing I'm preaching now, that's what it's about. A brother talked to me once. He said, I don't ask God for anything. I wrote the story in one of our books. I said, you don't? I was shocked. We were sitting somewhere around here that day. I said, why? I mean, as hard as life can be, you don't ask God for anything. Okay, maybe you're so much into revelation that instead of asking, you call those things that be not as though they were and they just appear poor. So you said, God, don't worry, I can handle it. Maybe. He said, of course, that was what I was talking about. He said, because I don't know what I've done for him that he should do anything for me. I say, yay. Foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you into thinking nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own? That's what we have. I told you before, wrong doctrine is a real problem. Then I had two children. I said, you know my sons? Yes, he knows me very well. I said, what do they do for me before I do for them? Suddenly he understood it. He understood it instantly. What do they do for me? Nothing. I told you before, I don't believe in parents that you take care of your children so they will take care of you tomorrow. That's a poverty mentality. My prayer to God is that as I'm growing old, you understand? It's just that I pray for my children, they will prosper. Otherwise, my children direct, I won't bother with them. By the time I'm going to build home with the Lord, is their own children and their children's children I'll be dealing with. Those ones I will settle them massively. Because the Bible says houses and riches are from the fathers. I'm talking about taking care of you when you're old. Who wants to be old? You plan to be old? I plan to remain young, man. And it's in the scriptures. In the kingdom of heaven, you walk with the word of God. You walk by faith. You walk with peace of mind. The rest of God. At the age of 100, you are called a youth. It's in the Bible like that. No, I pray to God when I'm 90. Nobody will give me a chair to use to preach. I will never stop preaching. You know, this preacher has retired. I wonder how can a preacher retire? What are you now doing? You are watching sunset. I pray to God, of course, health is my portion in Jesus' name. Amen. All these osteoporosis lies, I don't believe a word of it. If you don't believe it, it won't happen to you. Your eyes become weak, it will not happen to you if you don't believe it. You start forgetting. The only reason why you forget something is that there are many things to remember. But your brain will not get weaker. If you don't believe their nonsense, it won't happen to you. For that reason, at the age of 90, and you know, like I keep on saying, things that eyes have seen, ears have heard. Are you not telling me God can't do it? When God can do the ones that eyes have not seen and ears haven't heard. My eyes have seen 90-year-old men jogging. Saw a man, I think it was 80-something or 90-something, retiring from marathon. Do you hear what I said? A 90-year-old man retiring from marathon. I don't mean marathon around his household. I mean either a mini marathon or a full marathon. If it's a small marathon, it's 20-something kilometers. It's a full marathon, 42 kilometers. He was just retiring at the age of 90. And he began the marathon at the age of 75 when his wife died to combat depression. Eyes have seen it. Ears have heard it. So are you saying God cannot do that one? When God will do the one that eyes haven't seen, God can make a dead man get up and jog small. That one that eyes haven't seen. For that reason, I'm not taking care of my children because one day they'll take care of me. No. No. I take care of them because it's my duty and I love them. So, how much more God? Are you saying I'm a better father than him? Come on, I can't possibly be. That's why I'm teaching all these teachings. I see Christians, they are under bondage. They give as if I don't give, I'm in trouble. If I don't tithe, the devourer will come after me. Except that thing is not in the Bible. That a Christian that doesn't tithe, a devourer will come after him. That thing is not scripture. It's not in Malachi. There are many things in Malachi, my brother. Many things. I don't have time to analyze it now. I'm not talking about tithing. All of which don't concern you. Beyond the matter of learning certain principles. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. Don't scare me with any devourer. Any devourer comes near him, we'll have a devouring contest. Let's see who can devour first. I devour you. You are getting my principle. A Christian is not motivated by fear of the devourer. He's only motivated by fear of God and the love of God. Period. See, Christians, they are afraid. Afraid. Somebody's car will have an accident. Or like one brother said, he's clothed with tears. He says, because his devourer didn't tithe. It is this condemnation that is annoying. The reason why Jesus died is to ensure that you don't have to walk like that. Many of the things we are practicing were given as types of what Christ will do for you. That when you do these things, you get this kind of freedom. But when you are in Christ, you get more freedom. That's what they were saying. That's what they were about. That if you're in Christ, listen, whoever did this one will get you, you're getting more than little. Very crucial. That's what I'm going to explain. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's not obedience to certain laws, you know, certain principles that were there before him. No. That's why I was saying the other day, it sounded like a joke, but I know what I'm talking about. Christians don't give attention to what makes for their life. They give attention to what doctors say, what common sense says, What medical science says, if you jog, you live long. You read the scripture, you don't see any man jogging there. So Isaac, where's your father? He went to jog. Am I saying people shouldn't jog? Of course you should jog. It's good to be fit. I mean, in fact, you will feel better when you are light on your feet. I like to be able to run upstairs. You know, it makes me happy. And when the Lord has, you know, materially manifested some things in my life, I will have a gym in my home. It's good. It's the will of God. It's not the key to long life. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Footballers have collapsed and died. Footballers. The only people fitter than footballers are basketballers and swimmers. Yeah, they collapsed and died. Swimmers are swam and drowned because something went wrong while swimming. But Christians give attention to those things. Start taking Lipitor, cholesterol lowering drugs. If you are taking that thing, just know that you're on drugs. You see, your cholesterol is higher. You look at them. Look at the doctors. I've quarreled so much with any of my colleagues. I'm tired of quarreling. Say, leave this thing alone, my friend. They give an African man cholesterol lowering drugs. And he gets acute pancreatitis now. You have been wondering why. Most of those medicines kill you faster than the disease. You just don't know. Because when you are dead, you don't know. You think that the doctor's tried. If you have not seen the doctor, you'll have lived longer. Yeah, you don't know now. You are dead. You don't know. But what I want to emphasize is the fact that Christians don't give attention to the things that actually make for long life. Listen. The thing that gives you long life, he said, in him was life. That's it. It's the more of the face of Christ you see that heals your body and makes you live longer. That's how it is. That's how it is. Christians don't read scripture and confess word in the morning. They've gone to Aquara Square. Are you seeing where your face is? 30 minutes in the morning. After running around. Business the whole day. And on Sunday, he comes to church. And the sense will live long. If you were God, will you make him live long? The whole week, what has been is obeying some half-educated medical people. Yes, humanly speaking, they are the big guys now. But when God looks at these people, don't know anything. Half of the medicine they give you are poisonous. You believe them morning, afternoon, and night. Obey everything they say. Take the scriptures now and do your own activities of your mysterion. Are you getting my point? Of your own cult. You won't do it, though. Declare the word. The word has life in it. People won't do that. They spend the choice part of the money running around town. Take the scriptures, digest it, find out what God has said about you. No. I have to go and jog. Like I said, jogging is not bad. It's not the key to long life. That's what I'm saying. It's the key to fitness, you know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to explain. But there is something that has guarantees. That's what I'm saying. And that is the word of God. That word has given us liberty. The reason why we are still in bondage is because we don't give attention to it. That's what I'm trying to explain. God sent that word to liberate us. We don't give it attention. We obey every other person. They start walking in false doctrine, trying to pay God off for things that he, in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, liberated us. All these my messages, that's what it's about. To let you know there's liberty. There is liberty. You're not supposed to be walking afraid of God to striking you because you didn't calculate your first fruit correctly. Say, God, please bless me. Say, why should I? I called the accountant the other day. Your tithe was not complete. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. So what do I do? Pay 20% extra. I've heard a man preach before. Say, if your tithe is not complete, next time you're coming, you put 20% on top of it. And then, oh, God, your own Bible not complete. They stopped in Malachi. Stopped in Malachi. Because you cannot read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, you know, Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all of those things down to Revelation, and you should be talking like this. It's not possible. You can't read Paul, the book of Colossians, and you'll be talking like this. It's not possible. It is absolutely not possible. That's my message. I said, Christ is what? The final truth. Many of the things we are trying to obey, they are the things that people used, that those are the methods people used before Christ came to them. They will now want to take the old wineskin and pour new wine into it, which was a problem that Paul had an issue with when he was writing the Galatians. He had preached to them the new wine of Christ. So people now came behind and started giving them the old wineskin. Say, this your new wine is good though, but it needs to be stored in the old wineskin. And Paul said, no. You cannot begin in the spirit and then perfect it in the flesh. It doesn't work. Please, I hope you are following me. I hope you are learning something from what I'm saying. No, there's something else we were supposed to read. Colossians chapter 2. I was just trying to back up to that Colossians chapter 1. That's why I went to all this talk. That gift of God matter. Let's just read this a bit. So, Paul, having said this, he said in that chapter 1 that this is what the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, for that reason, I'm sweating every time, trying to ensure that everybody understands this. He said, 29, he said, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. Let's now serve verse 1 of chapter 2. For I wanted to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are in Laodicea and for all who, or for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. That is, everything is in Christ. Saying, whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Even though I am absent the body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, just to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in what? Your faith in what? Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And how they receive him? By faith. He says, in the same manner, walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. That is, you do this with thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. Please notice that. According to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is the point. You have been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. He said, verse 13 says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him. Please, as I'm reading, I want you to notice some things. The way it's using the past tense. That's what I want you to notice. The way it's using the past tense. He made you. You died with him. And you were raised with him, past tense, all right? He said, having canceled, verse 14, the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, he said, verse 16, he said, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or the new moon, or a Sabbath day. And I want you to understand that he was talking about Judaism here. He was not even concerned about the Gentile worship. These were issues about Judaism. So let nobody worry you about these things. He said, these things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to whom? To Christ. Again, that's the issue. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from which the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. I'm looking for where to stop. Okay, let's just stop here. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I've almost read the whole chapter. All right. I was just looking for where to stop. The thing just kept on getting sweeter and sweeter. I don't know whether you noticed it. Now, why I read all of that is the emphasis he puts on the use of past tenses. Everything he says there, he will say that you died with him, all right, in baptism. You were raised up with him. He tells you that the handwriting, the decrees against you were cancelled. Now, please notice this. When he wrote this, you were not even born. You are getting the point? And he said that he wrote this and he prayed for those who had not even seen his face, which includes people like you and me. He kept on talking in the past tense. That's why I read the whole thing. I ended the message last week with that particular principle. Remember I said my message today is titled what? The gift of God. And this is what Christ is. I said that, listen, all these things that people do is because they want to attain something. But this is what Christ is. All those things that they try to attain, God packaged it into one person. We'll talk about the mechanisms later. But he packaged it everything into Christ and said, if you will believe in him, that everything people struggled for is already yours. When I was young, I heard a story of some of these monks and these ascetics, like I've talked about once in a while. A man who wanted to separate himself from the pollution that's in the world, trying to fight against sin, they dug a hole in the rock and buried him inside with a wall, and then just left a hole, all right, a small aperture through which they could pass maybe water and a little bit of food, and the man would be there for years. What's he trying to do? Trying to overcome the corruption that's in the world. There's one I hear Christians say all the time. You know, Christians also do that thing with fasting. And it's totally wrong. They say you use your fast to put your body under. That thing, I don't have time to explain it. It just does not make any scriptural sense. Paul said it clearly. Those things don't do anything for the discipline of the flesh. I've explained it again and again. If a Christian wants to fast, there's only one reason a Christian fasts. Under the Old Testament, when there are different reasons they fasted. But the major reason was they had sinned, and God is about to punish them. So they wear sackcloth and ashes. But the interesting part is that God at the time said, even the sackcloth and ashes, I'm tired of it. He said, because I noticed it is not attached, it's not tied with. He said, rent your heart, not your garments. That is, if you will just repent, have a change of heart. For Christians, we don't get our forgiveness by the abasement of the flesh, the discipline of the flesh. We get it by confession and asking for forgiveness through the name of Jesus Christ. The only condition that God attaches to that is just repent. Don't mock God. You know, I mock God. You do unto, they say, God says, I won't collect this bribe. Please don't be angry. We'll share it. I don't know whether you understand my point. Yes, which a lot of Christians do. What I'm going to say is that forgiveness of sins, all right? That's all God is asking for, repentance. Repentance is not mocking God. What is mocking God? That I say, God, as I'm doing this thing, please, we will share the money. You understand it is for the poor. God is not Robin Hood, amen? Steal from the rich and give to the poor and justify it. God doesn't do that. If we repent of anything and confess, what does it mean to confess? To acknowledge that it is wrong and utter it in prayer, we are forgiven. It is not dependent on how we went into sackcloth and ashes. That's why we went through all of that. Christians try to attain some of those things also. They have their own works, we do. And gives us confidence. I've seen it, I've been to church, people say, man, we passed the whole of last week. Now, if the devil just shows up. And the devil says, yes. I'm happy you think like this because now I'm going to kill somebody. Because once you talk like that, you have armed the devil. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You have armed him. The only thing that works against the devil is the power of the word. It must never be confidence in your own flesh. The other people will feel that we have prayed enough, we have fasted enough. Let us now start. Let's not start and face them. That's it. The first volley of bullets, Richard is speaking out, they come down. Why? They came with a confidence that's not born, you understand what I'm saying, of the knowledge of the face of Christ. It's born of the spiritual activity that they have engaged in. And it doesn't work. Christ, this is what Christ is. Christ said, all those things that you are desiring, I packaged them. This is where I'm going. I gave it to you as a person. And everything that you can ever, now listen to this, this is the conclusion of it. Everything you may ever, listen to this, I'll say it one more time. Everything you may ever desire is already in Christ Jesus. And you take it from him by faith. What do I mean by faith? Again, it is simple. Just accept that it is in Christ Jesus and it is yours. And you are not working to get it. It has just been given to you freely. That's what the faith is. That's the beginning and the end of it. You don't ever think you are doing anything to get it. I always like to use money as an example. That's the easiest one because it's the one we are most confused on. We all know about it. We all know how to sow seeds. There's no Christian in this generation that does not know about seed sowing. Everybody has learnt it. But God has raised some of us up to come and correct the error in it. Like I say all the time, giving is good. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Yes, it is good. It's the life of God. That's how it is. That's the principle of Christianity. For God so loved that he gave. Now this one who have received something in Christ. We'll start by explaining the opposite. People still think, like for example, if I, let's take this as an example now. I need maybe a car, a house, something great from God. This is what it means to receive it by faith. What Christians do normally is this. They start looking for the keys to use to get it. Somebody says, you will praise God until your heart is rejoicing. Then you quickly ask. That is not receiving it in Christ. Please, I hope you have understood. Like I always say, praise is good. Amen?
Amen.
But it is not a way by which we get our car from God. Some say, no, you will write it down. No, this is one thing we do a lot in churches, and I'm setting the people of God free with his truth. They say, write that thing down, put an envelope, and then put an offering inside the envelope, seal it, and hold it up, and prophesy over it. That is the opposite of receiving it in Christ. Did you hear what I said? It is the opposite. Anything you do that appears like you are trying to merit it is the opposite. How do I, now we're using that car as an example of the building. How do I receive it in Christ? It is simple. We simply say, according to the word of Jesus Christ himself, God knows that I have need of these things. So when I approach him simply by faith. Which means that this thing I'm looking for, Christ already paid for it. That's all. Should I give money towards him? Why? He has paid for it. Should I praise God to be able to get it? Why? He has paid for it. He said, you say I shouldn't praise God. Please never read things I did not say. I just say it is not a key to getting it out of him. That's what I said. This is what praise is. When I'm praising him, I'm actually saying simply, God, thank you. You know, if I was a Hindu now, I would have had to walk naked for 2 years for this thing. Lord, thank you. Because in Christ Jesus, I don't have to walk naked. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If I was a Hindu, I would be walking naked just because I want spiritual enlightenment. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Jesus, oh, thank you. When he left, you sent the Holy Spirit. Now I don't have to fast for 11 months. Carry my hands stretched out without dropping it because of spiritual enlightenment. I have the Holy Spirit. He leads me into all truth. He leads me into all truth. Lord, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I'm filled with the Spirit of Christ. Are you seeing that? What did I do to get it? Nothing. Am I praising God to get it? No. The praise is a recognition of what I know. Please, I hope you're following the point I'm making. What is my, you know, I've been saying it. That's what I'm trying to preach the whole thing. Christians, please walk in the liberty. Everything you want in life is a gift of God. Every single thing is a gift, a free gift. We have to qualify it. Paul used the word free gift. Let's talk about the word righteousness again. Please go and listen to the series for those who haven't. Even if you were here when I preached it, please listen to it again. True righteousness revealed. True righteousness revealed. Please listen to the series. It's there on the website. What is righteousness? Righteousness, there are many ways to explain it. In line with what we're teaching now, righteousness is the excuse that God uses to bless you. That's it. That is it. It's the excuse. A stranger just walks up, example, to my door. I haven't paid my school fees. You know what I'm going to tell him? How is that my problem? I don't know what I get on saying. If I'm going to tell him, say, hello, good morning. I haven't paid my fees. Now I'm going to look over my shoulder. Are you talking to me? Yes. Me? First question is, how is that my problem? I don't know whether I get my point. But if my son walks in and said, Daddy, I haven't paid my fees. Why not? I don't know whether I get my point. Like, why? You didn't tell your mommy? You didn't tell me? When was it due? Why am I not asking why is my problem? He has a standing in the house. Are you getting my point? That standing is called righteousness. You are getting what I'm saying? Yes. But let us assume he's a big boy, he's in university as an example, and he comes home one day, and he comes with somebody. And he says, Daddy, I have to pay fees, though. So how much? He tells me. And I say, okay. Oh, okay. Take it as a check. Just a school accept check. Say, yes, okay, have the check. And he's about to leave, and I say, there's something I want to discuss with you. That guy downstairs, the one who came together. I say, yes. He's my friend in school. He hasn't paid too. And his father can't pay. Now, he has made intercession for his friend. I don't know whether you're getting the point. And the friend is automatically blessed because of the righteousness he has in my presence. That is, his own intercession is not the excuse for the other fellow. I'm not explaining righteousness. That if tomorrow I found out that this young man and my son are so close. So he comes by himself and I say, let's look for a name for him. Okay, there's Paul in the Bible. I just say, hey, Paul, how are you? I say, I'm fine. Where are you going? Say, come, we don't look happy. What's going on? I haven't paid for, so and so and so. Without, I won't call my son again and say, it's not necessary anymore. By virtue of his relationship with my son, he has not attained righteousness in my sight. So in front of me, he's a righteous man. Now notice that righteousness is not telling me how he behaves. No, it's not telling me how he behaves. It's a pure relationship matter. That is the excuse I'm using to bless him. Anytime God wants to bless you, he requires an excuse. And the excuse is called what? Righteousness. And he said, herein is the righteousness of God revealed. Not from our works, but what? From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is that faith? That God says, I have already given you everything as a gift. Listen to me. We don't negotiate on it. Like, God, if I do for you, what will you do for me back? Please stop all that nonsense. It's not Christianity. That's what I'm preaching in all this I'm saying. Let us stop it. It's not Christianity. I will say some things direct, because it will shock people into thinking. God does not bless you because of your tithe. He doesn't bless you because of your first fruits. Neither is his blessing tied to your offering. There are statements that a normal pastor shouldn't make. Well, good enough, I have my title already. Controversial preacher. Now, this is the interesting part. With all things that I say, don't think, Pastor Van, it's because you have money, you're paying for Kingdom World. Not lie. In fact, as a family, we give money to Kingdom World too. But my wife and I think we are behind now. Not because of lack of funds, but time to just sit down and do calculation. But Kingdom World doesn't lack money. Why? With all this what I'm saying, the people I'm talking to, the truth? They have been liberated. Are you getting my point? Yes. Those who relate with us in Kingdom World Ministries, they give out of what? Liberty. You know what I said? What did I call it?
Liberty.
Liberty. Liberty. That is, the giving is not, I want to get. It's more like, I have gotten. And there is a purpose for it. The giving is not, how do I do this? What will God give me back? That's why I keep on telling you. Don't sow any seed into my life. There are some pastors out there, I can show you their office address. Go and sow seed into them. As for me, please, don't. Shouldn't I give to you? Oh, come on. If you give to me, I'll pray for you. But you give to me for two reasons. One, you said, this guy is really preaching the word of God. And as a sign of my honor for that word, sir, take. Or two, once I was poor, then you preached. Now I have been set free. This is a product of that word. We have to share it. Here is your portion. Anything beyond that is idolatry. It is. So it's only if you give to a man of God that you'll be blessed. That's a fat lie. If you give to a poor person, you also be blessed too. He that gives to the poor honors his maker. It's the word of God. I'm going to bring out an issue here. That Christianity, oh God, I pray you can see my heart. I want to explain to you that you are free. That's what I'm trying to explain. That you are free to serve God. Serving God is sweet if it's not being done as a matter of compulsion. I can't imagine I get home, my wife saying, if I don't cook for him now, he starts shouting. And that's how, are you getting my point? I eat food out of grumbling. I hope you like it too. If you don't like it, now let's go and cook another one. I don't want to hear any shouts when I'm sleeping. No. I will lose appetite. In fact, you know that kind of thing, you go and soak Gary in peace. You dig Gary up and soak it in peace. And listen, that's how God is also. He doesn't like all this one that people do things for him because they feel that if they don't do for him, he won't do for them. He feels, listen, I'm giving you his passion. He feels bad about it. He doesn't like it. And one word I want to drop with you today. There are many people here, God said, that's why for years I've not been able to do anything for you. You have not freed me to do it. He doesn't like it. All the blessings of your life, they've been packaged in Christ Jesus. You don't get anything from him that is not a free gift. How do you get it? By faith. What is the faith? That you recognize is a free gift. You recognize Jesus paid for it. Listen, you are not sowing. Listen, if you like, you know, there's a message I preached some time ago. It's titled The Seed of God's Power. I said, the continual doing of good works. Please always do good works. That's a mark of Christianity. Not like we are trying to get something, but because it's the nature of God. Are you getting my point? It's the nature of God. It's the nature of God. The doing of good works is just, he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. For God so loved the world that he gave. You know of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him and he went about doing good. Doing good. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. That is, the sign of God's presence in his life was that he was going around doing good works. Jesus never sowed a seed for what he will reap. But we know, as a matter of fact, he always used to give to the poor. You know that? He always used to. That's why Judas was saying, why didn't you add this one to the welfare post? He always used to. That's why when he said, Judas, what do you do? Do quickly. They thought he said, go and settle the poor. He always used to. Apart from that, he had compassion on people. You saw a widow whose only son was dead. The Bible makes it clear that he had compassion on her. So this kind of thing is Christianity. To walk with compassion is Christianity. But listen, listen, we don't do those things because we want to get. We have been freed. Everything we are getting in life is because Christ Jesus paid for them. Please, this is my message to you today. Walk freely and serve God freely. You are not under bondage. I will say this one to you straight concerning your money. God is not sharing money with you. I hope you get what I'm saying. Say, where's my portion? Where's your portion? You know, 90%. No. Take 10%. No. Every single kobo you have belongs to him. I hope you get that point. And 100%. Anyone you eat is holy money. That's when you are eating food. That's why you have to give thanks. It's God's food you are eating. Lord, I took some of our money. I went to buy food with it. Thank you very much. It's not as if that one is not an offering. Any food that eats is an offering. Oh God. The one you gave and the one you ate, both of them are holy.
Yes, sir.
I pray you catch that. The one you ate, the one you gave, both of them are what?
Holy.
They are holy. They are holy. They are holy. Like I said, please, this message will flow into the next one. Talking about how to be led by the Spirit of God. I need to emphasize that thing. What it means to be led. You know why I'm saying so? Because take out this money thing as an example. You have been freed. You are in liberty to do what you like with your money, in quote. Because the money is not yours. It belongs to God. Just like you are not yours, you belong to God. So how do I now handle the money? That's what it calls being led by the Spirit. The word of God that has entered into you, the Spirit of Christ that has entered into you, suddenly sets your priorities differently. I don't know what you guys want to say. Yeah, it says it differently. It says it differently. It says it differently. It removes the fear of tomorrow. It removes the pressure to be, you know, trying to impress somebody. It removes all of those things. Suddenly the Holy Spirit can, without whispering to you, it has entered into you. And when you are portioning money, it's according to the will of God. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Ah, let me stop. I still feel like talking. But if I keep talking, you know what's going to happen? I'll be saying the same thing again and again. And what is the same thing I'm saying again and again? You are free.
Amen.
You have been set free to serve God.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to emphasize. God came down in the body of Christ to you. You are not the one looking for him. He looked for you. Do you get my point?
Yes,
everything he came to you as a gift, he said, just believe. Just believe. I said, God always speaks with what? Past tense. I have erased. Listen, that's the point I'm making. Oh, God, Israel, let's start again. That is. He said, I have erased every handwriting of decrees written against you. Believe it. Don't say this. You have a problem, it's a sign of a curse. That's what I'm trying to say. Just believe it. Stop saying you have a problem, it's a sign of a curse. This is what he said. In Christ Jesus, I have wiped out every curse that was written against you. So is that how you believe it or you don't? If you believe it, problems will disappear from your life. Are you getting my point? If you believe it, those problems will be wiped away. What have I done to break the curse? Oh God, will I start preaching again this evening? You cannot break any curse. You can't, because it's not there.
Yes.
Why are you letting people lie to you? When God says the curse has been removed, you still want to break the curse. If you try to break the curse, God will punish you personally. You don't get the point. You're insulting him. Oh God, why can't I get the point? Every day Christians are going to church. And I say, you go to church, you go and listen to this. Why don't you just go to a mosque? Just go to a mosque. At least all of you know it's deception. Everybody knows. I'm not a Muslim, I've come to a mosque. Let them not catch me. They won't lynch me. You understand? Why rather than go, your heart is not open, you know? Your heart is locked. But you go to a church, you open your heart. And if somebody pours it into you, that there's a curse in your life. When the Bible says clearly that in Christ Jesus, every handwriting has been wiped away. It has been removed. So why don't I experience it? Because you don't believe it. And like I said before, you're just misinterpreting an average day's wahala. Like you're coming to Kingdom World Ministries. You go to that junction, there's a long queue. They see, because they say, I won't get to the Bible study on time. That traffic light is there to control traffic. Sometimes you are behind the long traffic. It's not you. It's nothing personal. Like I said all the time, life is just hard. And he that overcomes, that means you're supposed to be an overcomer. If life is not hard, why should God send in overcomers? He would have sent in enjoyers. You just go there and say, boy, go and enjoy. No, he didn't say that to you. He said, go and what? Overcome. What does it mean to overcome? There's a problem there, you will overcome it. That's why you're an overcomer. Wahalas in life is not a sign of a curse. Stop trying to look for what you did before that's causing your problems today. That's the last one I want to say. After that, don't worry, I'm going. Stop trying to look for what you did before that's causing your problems today. Just simply say to God, everything that was written against me has been wiped away. If there is anything you are doing wrong today, the Holy Spirit whispers it to you. You confess it there. You don't fast on it. What did I say? Oh no, what don't you do? You don't fast on it. What is fasting about? Fasting is that I may be confused. I don't know what next to do. So I take a holiday. I take a leave. I go somewhere quiet with a Bible, a few tapes, some messages, all right? And I sit down and I pray till I gain understanding. That's why my favorite prayer now is from the book of Colossians chapter 1. I pray that God will fill you and me with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of God. That's it. That's what we fast for. My brother, if hunger is catching you, chop. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
that is instruction from today. If you are hungry, eat. Your hunger doesn't make you spiritually potent. Some people say, now we are ready to cast out demons. Why? We have been fasting. The demons like it. They like people like you. You have false confidence. Listen, I'm a free Christian.
Amen.
I pray you will join me. I'm a free Christian.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm free.
Amen.
I am free. You are free too.
Amen.
I say you are free too.
Amen.
If you have had problems in life, let me say it again. Your problems cannot prove the word of God as wrong. Listen, he said every handwriting has been scrubbed off. Every decree written against you has been removed. Please, I ban you according to the word of God from going for any deliverance service. You don't need it. You want to deliver your family? Tell your family they don't need it. They need to believe. You cannot deliver an unbelieving family. You cannot deliver somebody who has not believed. Are you getting my point? How can you be delivering somebody who has refused to believe? You say, I want to do family deliverance. You ask your brother, you don't give your life to Christ? No. You ask your sister, you don't give your life to Christ? No. You say, they go to church, I never sure. And you want to deliver them. You should tell all of them, I'm calling Rehum Bonke. Sit down here. And you come back. Yes, I have come. In Jesus' name, believe. If you don't believe, you are condemned already. There's no deliverance that we can do. Otherwise, I just simply, if you refuse to believe, I will pray for you. Like I said earlier, the power of my intercession, you understand, will help you in life. But real deliverance is believing. Don't follow anybody to go to any village. You know, go?
Yes, sir.
Good. Don't follow anybody to go to any village. Why? Because every handwriting written against you has been wiped out.